heart was blinded by. You have kissed your lips and held your head, shared your dreams and shared your bed. I know you well, I know your smell. I've been addicted to you. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
Yes, one more time with Feeling. Hello and welcome to the final episode of .com and The Den Monday. Certainly for this season, and let's be honest with our loyal viewers, Rich, we don't know what's happening beyond this episode. I'm Roger Aldridge. He is Richard Irvin, and it's been a long season, and we're going to close out with some very good racing and good horses to discuss.
Super Saturday. It was a brilliant Super Saturday. Now, listen, Roger, you look fantastic. No tears today, okay? Let's just get through this and be as professional as we can be, all right?
Yes, I thought I'd go wedding attire rather than funeral attire. As I said, we don't know exactly whether this will be the last one ever, but it's certainly the last one this season. And, well, we've got a war machine to talk about.
We do.
The Straight Six.
What better way to open the Straight Six than with the time-honoured Stradbroke Handicap? Not exactly the best Stradbroke field we've ever seen, but it was ultimately a terrific race. War Machine looked the winner a way out, but there would have been some nervous moments when Yellow Brick made his move. A terrific campaign for War Machine, and geez, he's worked through his grades nicely, which is a real signature of the Hayes stable, albeit this horse hasn't been with them overly long.
Yeah, he swept all before him, hasn't it? Great tribute to Mike Maroney. Pretty emotional scenes afterwards. Tim Clark, 10 out of 10 steer from the wide barrier, just did the best he could, got some cover, then lit him up. Ben Hayes still thinks he's got a lot of improving to come. I mean, they're only just getting to know the horse, haven't they? They've only had it for... You know, a few months.
First, I think it arrived in their stables.
I thought Yellow Brick ran well, but outside of that, I'm not particularly excited about anyone else back in the field. They're all sort of Group 2, Group 3 horses. But what are we going to do in springtime with War Machine? Well, of course, maybe the Everest, because we know that the Stradbroke's pretty strong form in the Everest. Belinda Patina got beat by a lip in the Straddy last year. Then went on to win the Everest. Think about it. Won the Stradbroke last year, went on to win the Everest. So they'll definitely be targeting that. Of course, is the conundrum that Ka Ying Rising, which is virtually a stablemate of War Machine, will be in the race. Roger, you were saying in pre-production, you think the Sir Rupert Clark is the one that fits the profile the best?
Without doubt. I mean, he's going to, I think that sort of 1,400 metres will be his go. And the Everest has been a little bit weaker the last couple of years. And so, yes, we've seen runners, but I think we've seen better horses come out of the Stradbroke.
Yep.
Ka Ying Rising is the horse that it's why the Everest never existed when Black Caviar was rolling around, because it would have just made everyone racing for second. And I think that's probably what we're looking at this year. But look, the Hayes, Will Hayes said on radio this morning that, yeah, they're going to go for the Everest, probably as the number two seed race, but they know exactly what Ka Ying Rising can do because their dad trains him.
Yeah. And another cool thing, which has been pretty well documented, is that was the first time Lindsay Parks ever won a Stradbroke. They never won a Doncaster 2 until the three boys came together. So they've now won two of the biggest races on the calendar when Colin and David couldn't do it.
Yeah, and you say that the you know, there wasn't much behind it. I tell you what, I really like, I love the run of Private Eye, given the way.
He's been around for a million years.
Agreed. I'm not saying it's going to be a great form race, but what I'm saying is that it was actually a good race in the end. It wasn't the best field. I thought there was a little bit there where I thought, geez, Rothfire's going to do it. Bizasto was probably a little bit unlucky.
They would have been pleased with that. He ran a race which will get your man Mytho and other connections excited that maybe there's a good race in him over spring.
Yeah, I think he will win some nice races, perhaps Group 1s, perhaps not. Desert Lightning for the other mate Moods. He was real stiff. That was the second lightest weight he'd carried in his career, and he was real stiff not to probably run second or third even luck. So there was some good runs in the race, but yes, War Machine's certainly the one to follow out of the race, you know, because of the way he's just elevated at every start this preparation. Before we do move on, Rich, the format of last year's Golden Eagle. Now, this has to be arguably the greatest form race I've ever seen.
Incredible, isn't it?
It's the best form race I've ever seen. Arguably, it is the best form race anyone's ever seen. This is last year's Golden Eagle. There are 7 Group 1 winners to come out of this race now. That is extraordinary.
And Lazarte goes around at Royal Ascot this week, which might frank the form even more. He's favourite for it's the Jubilee, isn't it, on Saturday? I think Stormboy's in that race as well.
Yeah, incredible. So is there anyone left out of the Golden Eagle that we can be following here on in? But either way, that's extraordinary. A horse that's made his mark this autumn is Cool Archie. And he drifted in the JJ Atkins. I was really keen on him going in. I was surprised at the drift, but what it did do is give a nice payday for the true believers. He is a winner. He showed that again. There were question marks going if he'd get the mile, and that question was answered. And, you know, we often talk about the winner of the JJ as a lightweight three-year-old hoping the Cox Plate, Rich, but your sources tell you that that won't be the target race for them in the spring, and probably rightly so. If we're questioning whether he gets a mile, we're going to question whether he gets 2,000.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably would get 2,000 metres, but Max Whitby, I don't know if he's part owner or the complete owner. I saw just a thing on RaceNet saying that they're going to head towards the Coolmore in the spring. He said that there's been quite a lot of interest from studs wanting to buy him in entirety or buy sharing him for him to go to stud. I thought a couple, the second horse and the fourth horse, Hidden Achievement and Providence, both from Chris Waller's yard. I thought they looked like they're profiling well to, you know, do something interesting over the spring, Caulfield Guineas, those kind of races. But yeah, for me, Coolarty is my two-year-old of the year. I went back and had a bit of a look last night. You could argue Mahuna maybe, because Mahuna ran second in the Riesling, I think it was, then won the slipper. She won another race at Canterbury midweek, which doesn't count for much. Maybe she'd won the Riesling and she was undefeated. You could argue that she should win it over Coolarty. But I just think that Coolarty winning five on the bounce, done it on heavy, done it on good, won over all different distances.
He's certainly got more. He's got more wins, but he's had, I think, 9 starts as a two-year-old, 2 preparations as a two-year-old. The first prep wasn't overly great, but he's been absolutely stunning. In winning these races, is he more an autumn horse? You do sometimes see that horses run better in the autumn than the spring. We'll find that out in the spring. It's certainly a lot of people. Was there a dominant two-year-old? Well, no, but I'm actually really excited about the group of three-year-olds we're going to have that come back, because it is such an even crop, and there were some serious talents. Matty Laurie's 2-year-old as well.
Vinrock.
Vinrock, another really exciting one, and probably in the conversation as 2-year-old of the year. But I think it's really exciting what is on the horizon for us, because we did lament all along, no 2-year-olds really put its hand up. But then towards the end of this season, they were maybe just a bit more late maturing. And we've seen some really nice types. So
who's your 2-year-old of the year?
I'm probably with you on Coolarty, just for the sheer weight of numbers, the way able to sweep all before him, 5 on the bounce, winning various distances, winning on various tracks. Like, he's just so tractable. I can't wait to see him after a bit of a spell. Martin Harley, great celebration, good way to go out. So his first Group 1 in some time. He jumped on a plane to Melbourne and then a connecting flight to London, heading over to Royal Ascot. I think he was in first class and the fancy.
I think it's 10 years since he rode the winner at Ascot, so they're having him back there. Might have been one of the sprint races. I saw that's why I was heading over there. But, yeah, he seems like a cracking bloke and deserves the success he's had. He's had plenty of ups and downs like all jockeys do.
Yeah, a while between wins at Group 1 level for Martin. I'll tell you what, a while between wins full stop for Kovalika as we focus now on the Q22. Kovalika's now got 7 career wins from 30 starts. So that is almost 25% win rate. But he's got the tag of a non-winner, because this was his first triumph since his 3-year-old season when he won that Queensland Derby. He's threatened to win for a while, and he's certainly competitive, but just couldn't get there. 4 wins from 5 runs at Eagle Farm, so I would expect him to continue to be a regular at Stradbroke season. But he was, for what he was good, I thought Faulkner Park was disappointing, because there was a time there he looked like he was going to just truck up and go past them, and he just... He's been so good in his lead-up runs. He just had nothing in the tank when he really needed it.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty strong form line. I think I think New Endeavour's racing really well. Kovalika's obviously back to his best form. Yeah, I guess you can be disappointed. A lot of people would have been if you'd taken like the 220 Faulkner Park. I don't think it was a terrible run. I think it'll end up being a pretty strong form race. And in years gone by, it always does show that it is, because it's.
I didn't take Melbourne the Cup short winners. Price just. FYI.
I thought
he definitely would win it.
But the boys in the den were saying, Faulkner Park's just gone. He's not the horse he was. I'm not totally convinced that's the case. I think he's just coming up against better ones on the day. But so New Endeavour, you would think they would have to push towards a Caulfield Cup. There was queries over him over distances over 2,000 metres. But, you know, I mean, as King said, he ran a really hard 2,200 metres on Saturday. He said that in the Saturday session and was, you know, got beaten by a lip. Kovalika, Nev Morgan, the owner, said that they might push towards a Melbourne Cup again. And you'd imagine Faulkner Park won't go anywhere near the Melbourne Cup simply because last time. Doesn't like it down there.
Has been a great form race, as we touched on last week, for the Melbourne Cup. Because without a fight, 1 or 2 years ago, Knight's Choice ran second last year. I'm not sure I'd want to be on Kovalika in a Melbourne Cup if he did go back there again. But, yeah, look, at least he's got another win on the board. Campbell-Dino is a horse who we know gets 3,200 after he won a very middling Brisbane Cup on Saturday. He was the class horse in the race, and he saluted accordingly. But I don't think we should get too carried away with what he might achieve going forward. But he does sort of have the aspect that, hey, we know he runs 2 miles. That's a good start for a Melbourne Cup there, but
the other big box tick is that it's Waterhouse and Bott, and they do like setting horses for those spring classics. So they'll definitely push towards the Melbourne Cup. Gay loves having Melbourne Cup runners. So they said that they'll put a circle around the Melbourne Cup, work back from that. He'll be in the thick of it. He probably should get in with his, after winning the Brisbane Cup, that should get him enough prize money and stuff to get him into the race. So we'll see. Let's move on, Rog.
Yes, let's go on to the Pia, the Kiwi Raider, who came out and absolutely destroyed them on the weekend. No great surprise to see him go at favourite in the Wayne Wilson, given he ran third behind War Machine in the BRC sprint. Mm. Pretty lightly raced for a five-year-old. Has had some extended stints away from track. Now, I don't know the full background of Pia, but I'm guessing there's been some issues. He only had one run between September 23 and April this year. That was a win on a heavy track. So I dare say there has been some issues over the journey.
He's a Group 1 winner, won the New Zealand 2000 Guineas. Aussie Kerr plucked him out of New Zealand like he does many other good horses. Gee, they can get a good horse out of New Zealand, but you did say in pre-production that Aussie says that they get some good ones, but there's plenty of bad ones as well. This one looks like a real good one. I thought I was very impressed by his win. Really commanding win, beat up on some other horses in who have been going okay at that level. He's much, much better than them. And on that, he probably would have given the Stradbroke a big shake, and the trainers was saying that as well, that you know they're disappointed he didn't get in, but he'll go back to New Zealand. Sorry, he's going to spell in Queensland, then he goes back to New Zealand. He's going to aim up in the Group 1 Tarzina, which is in September. Then he'll come back to Melbourne for the springtime.
Let's move on to a horse who is off to the Tats Tiara now, which is the final Group 1 of the racing season. Now, Firestorm looked the horse to beat going into this race, but there was a really good late push for Floozy, the former Price and Kent trained mare, and she was really impressive. Very nice breeding too. She's by Zoostar out of Catchy, who you might remember won the Blue Diamond, placed in a William Reid. So she goes to the Tats Tiara, and she could become a very valuable broodmare herself if she nabs a Group 1, given that breeding.
Yeah, this is true. She got to run the race, and she capitalised on it. Firestorm is pretty good, as was Tashi. The boys in the den think that Firestorm turns the tables in the Tats Tiara on Floozy. Let's go and have a look at the market, Rog, for the Tats Tiara. There it is. Now, Benedetta was in the market on Saturday evening. It's now come out. Floozy was $7. It's now under $4.60. Yes, Benedetta coming out will be part of that firming, but I don't think it can. It's not responsible from firming from $7 to $4.60 because, for example, Tats Tiara was $4. Firestorm was $4. Has only come into $3.80 off that. So I think there's been a bit of money for Floozy. People think that it's not going to be as easy for Firestorm to turn the table. And of course, it is a Group 1. They're never easy. So there's a whole list of horses, as you can see on there, who may come out and win that race. But, 2 weeks away to that, and then that'll be it for the season.
I just want to touch on something you said before, turn the tables in the Tats Tiara. I just wonder if you could say that really quickly about another 5 times in a row.
Turn the table in the Tats Tiara, turn the table in the Tats Tiara, turn the table in the Tats Tiara. That'll do.
Yeah, three's enough. It was a great day for the Hayes brothers. They not only won their first Stradbroke, but also had a treble at Sandown as we shift our focus to Victorian racing now, not just Victorian horses and Victorian trainers. But the best of the wins at Sandown, from a training perspective at least, was that of Aztec State. He was first up for 12 months. Eric, he carried 60 bloody kilos, and he bolts in over 1,600. The long absence might have been a blessing. Terrific fresh win. He is going to drop significantly in weight next start because he'll rise in class. And based on that win, he's going to be well in the market. And I noted that the boys didn't think he was going to win on Saturday. They said to Daniel Stackhouse, according to Stacky himself, I'll just sort of take him back, let him run home. Hopefully he hits the line really well. He'll be really ready to go third up.
Yeah, you know, he wanted a race. Real professional racehorse. The Winter Championships final on July the 5th.
Mm.
That would be a nice race for him. And then maybe, don't know what they do with him to get him ready for spring, freshen him up or just keep him up and about. But, he's got a feature in the springtime. And if he's not quite up to that sort of Group 1, Group 2, those big races, there'd be plenty of country cups and stuff that he could go well in. And, yeah, he's lightly raced and only young, so he's got a bright future ahead. He's flying just like the Hayes boys, aren't they?
But you could run him over a multitude of distances as well, which really does open the door for what races you aim.
I think Will was, or JD, I think it might have been JD saying that they think you'll get over some distance. So plenty of fun.
Well, he was touted as a dark Queensland Derby horse a couple of years ago. So yeah, that's not no surprise that they think that. Let's head to the Stewart Speed Round.
Stewart's Room Speed Round.
All right, we'll start at Eagle Farm. A couple of suspensions. CJ Graham, she got a careless riding 14-day suspension for her steer on King Kappa in race 5. And then in race 8, Craig Williams got a 14-day ban for careless riding on Rothfire. We go to Sandown now, the horse action. No suspensions at Sandown. Blackberry Bomb in race 2, poor performance. Got a warning for that. Marble Point, same race, lame, needs a vet clearance. Dirty Grin in race 4, which was well backed as well, lame, vet clearance. And Swances in race 5, lame, needs a vet clearance. I thought it was really good run by Swances. Didn't have a lot of luck. So interesting, pulled up lame. Of note too, Rich, Michael Kent got a $100 fine for a late rider notification. Do you reckon they just settle that in cash and maybe just throw it toward the Stewart Christmas party? I feel like $100 fine's hardly worth an invoice.
I hope there's no surcharge. You know, like you get 1.5% surcharge as well.
All right, let's keep talking finances with Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, Cook the Book time. And joining us, as always, from Ladbrokes, Tom Hackett, the resident Rayman, and also Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolf Den. Good morning to you, gents. Thanks for joining us on the final episode of .com and the Den Monday Sport this season. Tommy, let's start with the features, three of them. The Stradbroke was a very interesting betting race, and War Machine race favourite Saluted. Was it a bad result for you, or were you able to spread the liability across a few?
No, it was a very, very bad result for the Ladbrokes Book. One of our worst results for the season to date. So a losing result of $833,392. So War Machine was the horse they wanted. War Machine and Private Eye were our only losing results in the race. We had everything else running for us. Golden Brick would have been a big result, but no, War Machine was always the horse with the right profile, and now punters were pretty warm on it. So no, very, very nasty result for the Ladbrokes Book. There's no sugarcoating that one.
Geez, you must have been happy with Yellow Brick's run to upgrading from Yellow Brick to Golden Brick, Tom.
If it had won, and Yellow Brick was a winning result for the book of almost 500,000, so it would have been a turnaround of over 1.3. So we would happily upgrade it to Golden Brick if it had to Golden Brick if it had knocked off War Machine.
Well, a brick is $1 million, so that probably would have worked quite well. Hey, Kings, were you with or against War Machine? Because it had plenty of knockers, but he did look the most progressive horse in the race.
And I was on the Golden Brick as well. No, I laid War Machine at around 360. I was against War Machine. I backed about 5 to beat it, including the Brick. So I was cheering with Ladbrokes there, unfortunately. But no, bad result for me. Too good. Big win, War Machine.
JJ, in the JJ Atkins, there was a really big drift on Cool Archie. Were you putting it as well, Kings?
Oh, no, not really. I had Cool Archie second pick, but I nearly had something on Cool Archie. He got out to about $5 in the end, but no, I didn't get involved.
What did the book look like at the jump, Tommy? I was surprised at that drift.
Jump 480 Cool Archie. I think had a bit to do with the firm track. Obviously, all his form in the lead up was on those heavy tracks, but he was still very well backed by the Ladbrokes punter. Another big losing result, of $541,721. So the punters across the two group ones at Eagle Farm on Saturday won over $1.3 million. So the big group one races certainly went to the punters this weekend, there's no doubt.
But I'm guessing you got a fair bit back in the last, in the Q22, because there were plenty of Spruiking Faulkner Park as the best of the day. That would have been a genuine fill-up for the book, wouldn't it?
Faulkner Park was very, very popular. I think it was anchoring a lot of multis. A lot of people had it pretty heavy in the last. So Faulkner Park was a losing result of over $500,000. And Kovalika continues to be the bookie's friend. Even when he wins, Kovalika, he helps us out. So he was a winning result of $432,000. He was one of our best results in the race. So now that turnaround, that close finish between Faulkner Park and Kovalika was basically a $1 million swing. And after the results we copped in the Ladbrokes JJ Atkins and the Stradbroke Handicap, we needed it. So good old Kovalika, still the bookie's friend. We'll continue to have his statue pride in place in the trading room.
There you go, a golden brick for the bookies in the last of in the Q22. Hey, Kings, Aha Aha was many people's best of the day at Sandown. It was my best of the day at Sandown. That was a very surprisingly poor run, but I'm guessing you couldn't have got it as short as the $1.75 which he jumped.
So, no, it's a race that I stayed out of. It's just amazing on a Saturday how often these shorties do continue to get rolled, and they're all well-backed as well, and the money keeps coming. Tom, was that well-backed at your end?
Yeah, it was. It was well-supported. Ended up jumping $1.95. Would have been a losing result of $329,403. So that was one of our better results of the day in Melbourne Centre, and a maiden winning result of $318,000. So good result for the book there at Sandown.
Troy Corson's mustn't punt with Ladbrokes, because I think he was pretty keen on it and gave it a push on his stable update at about 50-1. So well played there. What about Sandown in general? Is often regarded, certainly by trainers, and I know Moods thinks so, as a really fair track. Kings, from a punting perspective, is it a track that you really like to bet at? Because it does feel like every horse gets its chance.
I actually prefer to bet on tracks like Moonee Valley or Caulfield, where it's more on pace. But from a trainer's perspective, yeah, absolutely. Sam, I think the two best tracks to make ground on for punters, trainers, and horses, obviously, are Sandown and also Flemington, with those big long straights. The longer the straight and the wider the track, the more chance that horses have from coming from behind, for sure. But I actually like betting on Caulfield or Moonee Valley better, because you can sort of, you can pen the back three-quarter of 25% of the field.
This is true. How did the punters go at Sandown as a whole on Saturday, Tommy?
Yeah, a bit of a back and forth day. The book finished in front. Punters got a little bit late in the last with Hughes, who was a losing result for us for 150,000, but winning result for Ladbrokes at Sandown, but certainly not enough to make up from that the strip outs and the two group ones at Eagle Farm.
All right, gentlemen, we got to say goodbye for the final time. And I'm a bit disappointed that neither of you said anything about my outfit. certainly, I mean, Tom, you've known me for over a decade. You know that I don't dress like this without an occasion. So thanks very much, guys, for not noticing. But thank you very much for being a part of .com on the Den Mondays. We enjoyed the segment, Cook the Book. We love the insight from both of you. And enjoy your off-season.
Thanks, Rog. A lot of fun.
Thanks, Roger. Enjoy your shift later, handing out drinks at the Crown.
Sneak peek.
Let's look ahead, and not too far ahead, Rich, because, we've got Flemington on Saturday, but we've got Royal Ascot kicking off tomorrow night. Asfura in the King Charles on Wednesday night. Storm Boy takes on Lizette in the Jubilee, as you touched on earlier, which you think is Saturday night. So there's some good racing during the week for the Night Owls. Of course, coming off the World Test Championship, if they're still on that time zone, just roll straight into
Royal. It'll all be on racing.com, of course.
Absolutely. And of course, then it's a little bit of a flat one. We go to Ipswich this week for the Brisbane Carnival before we roll into Tassiara next weekend. And then it's the quiet period before we come back. And PB Lawrence Day is August 16 at Caulfield. So, but still, there's still plenty of races if you want to punt on. And you don't need to be looking at the features to find a good bet.
Well, the winter was pretty exciting last year. I remember Recommendation was the star of the winter. I saw a story pop up on racing.com this morning saying that Recommendation's going to try and run it back in all those big sprint races. So the Winter Championships always throws up some good stuff. Start to get a few stayers, getting set for the Melbourne Cup, all that kind of stuff. So I'll be watching and enjoying.
Yep. This is where the Wolf Den boys really hit their straps, I think, don't they, Rich? Just in the quieter season, signalling a few out around the traps. I know Kings likes to play wide.
Absolutely, yeah. When everyone else is on holidays in Europe and getting in the sun with all the beautiful people, we're here trying to make some money, turn a dollar, Rog. You're off to Europe for the season, are you, I presume?
I wish. I've got a work trip to North Queensland in a few weeks. So that'll be as exotic as it gets. we won't be here next week, and we don't know when or if we'll be back, Rich, but I've had a great time doing this show with you on Mondays for certainly this season, since we resumed back in February, and also as we did last spring. Thank you very much to you. Thanks to Trelmit for all his work with the video and the editing, and well, it makes me look stupid occasionally, but not too much. So I thank you for that. And thanks to all the viewers who've stuck by us and watched, Rich.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, mate, and appreciate your help. Real privilege to sit here every Monday morning and talk about racing, and we appreciate everybody who watches it. And, of course, big thank you to racing.com for supporting us and making it happen, also Ladbrokes as well. So, Yep. Thank you. Bon voyage. And no doubt we'll be back bigger and better in maybe in this capacity or a different capacity in the springtime up the Den. Thank you very much.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.